It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why, though there is definitely some legitimate criticism to be made against it, you have to give it credit, and everybody needs to acknowledge that time that the family was saved from being eaten by a shark by Song of the South. I mean, it's just fair.
I guess.
I mean, you know, you gotta take the good and the bad, just be honest about it, you know.
I suppose.
You ready for some root beer?
I don't know.
I told you it was gonna be root beer.
Why is there root beer?
Well, so I have a coworker. It's near me. Last week on, I guess on Friday, says to me, "Do you like root beer?" She says, "I brought this bottle of root beer for so-and-so, but they're not here today." And I was like, okay. And I looked at it, and it's super craft hippie root beer. I mean, let me do it this way. This is Main Root root beer. It says, handcrafted ingredients, carbonated pure water, fair trade certified organic cane juice, and spices. Caffeine free.
Yeah.
And it just screamed you. It's, and I was like, I know somebody.
It's good.
Oh, you've had this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cheating. But I didn't tell her how long it was going to be. And so just today, she happened to mention something about, like, did you like the root beer? I'm like, we're going to have it tonight. We're going to do it on the air. She was, like, really excited that it was going to have it on the air. So, yeah, we're having Main Root root beer.
Usually when I have Main Root, though, I'll have their sarsaparilla.
Looking a gift of root beer in the mouth.
Their root beer's good. It's a lot like their sarsaparilla, except with, I suppose it's got...
Ooh, good smell.
More anise in it than the sarsaparilla does.
Good bouquet right out of the gate here.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's interesting to me...
You don't like root beer?
No, I do like root beer.
Oh, okay.
And I was raised on... Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
I was raised on A&W.
Mm-hmm.
And more specifically, A&W diet root beer. I think of A&W... Well, I think in general, most general commercial brands of root beer each have its... Like, I could do a blind taste test. And I could tell you what was A&W, I could tell you what was Barks, I could tell you what was Mug. Mug and Dad are kind of close, but yeah. In general, I can do that. And I think, in particular, I think of A&W as sort of unique. Like, not too many others taste like A&W to me. But this, the smell at least, very much reminds me of A&W.
A&W does kind of stand out.
Yeah, to me, this tastes like... I mean, because I can tell the difference. This is clearly not high fructose corn syrup and caramel color.
That's right.
Like, you can... But to me, this is, like, the natural version of A&W.
Yep.
I'm like, if A&W was made with pure, wholesome ingredients,
which,
it's this.
Which all A&W root beer was in the restaurants for many years.
Yeah. Because, yeah, you used to get the...
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing. We didn't have an A&W near us, but Silver Falls, Oregon... It was about a half hour away, and it had a park. It was called Silver Creek Falls. It had all these waterfalls. It was great. And so it was a regular stop, like in the warm weather things. We'd go out for the day or whatever. And you always had to stop at A&W.
Mm-hmm.
Get one of these. And it was also one of those places that had the menu behind glass, like, on each table.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit a button and, like, ordered. There was a
yep,
phone
there was a
and
phone,
stuff.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this tastes very much like the old A&W. And yeah. The sarsaparilla tastes a lot like this, because I believe their root beer, like A&W, is sarsaparilla based. And then you add a few other things. Like, I think there's a little bit more of a hint of anise. And
isn't Whorehound often in there?
I don't know. And peppermint, just a slight hint of it, goes into A&W anyway, and I think into this too. But the sarsaparilla takes is basically the sarsaparilla flavor you're tasting in it, sort of turns it up. And I think the sarsaparilla aspect of A&W root beer and other root beers is the flavor aspect of it that I like the most. So then when I get main root sodas, I almost always just get straight up sarsaparilla because...
Well, because that's, like, this is good, but if I was going, like, to offer notes to make it better, up the spices. This was very mild flavor.
Oh, no doubt about it. If
it's tasty, but I could use something, the volume could go up a little.
If you tasted this and the sarsaparilla, you'd barely be able to tell a difference. You could tell, but barely. But I agree with you. If you're going to make a root beer and a sarsaparilla, the root beer should taste significantly different, not just barely noticeably different.
Well, but just in general, this is a very mild flavor. Something, you know, I can still sort of taste the spices.
I agree.
And that's, you know, a lot of them, well, Barks has bite, and it definitely does. And
Barks has caffeine in it also.
Yeah, right? Mm. Which they're not super open about. Like you can tell if you look at it, but it's not real obvious. And I have known a lot of people who have, like, been drinking it for years and not known and things like that. It's that was a big surprise when we found that out.
At home, we made some sarsaparilla once from actual sarsaparilla. Mm-hmm. And I think there was just a little bit of anise and stuff in it, and it tasted really good, but I think the main root sarsaparilla is probably the best I've ever had. And like I said, the root beer is just got, you can just tell there's some slight other flavors.
This is the best. I thought you said what your favorite was, and I thought it was something else.
Well, my favorite root beer of all time is still an A&W that's made from fresh ingredients.
Yeah.
You can't beat that.
Or like 1919.
Yeah, which tastes almost exactly the same.
Yeah, 1919 is really good.
There are other root beers. Virgil's had a special edition it was like Bavarian root beer called itself, but it had nutmeg and stuff in it, and it was quite good.
That root is spelled R, and then there's a U with an umlaut over it, and then T. Root beer.
But I mean, most like, you know, there is such a thing as microbrewed root beers, and most of them are good. I mean, they just...
The principles of making beer and the principles of making root beer are fairly
very
similar.
Very similar, and most of them are good. Not all of them. My experience with root beers are you've got three major things that you'll taste depending on how they make the root beer. Either it's going to be a heavily sarsaparilla based, mm-hmm. such as this one, or a sassafras, which is very close. And I'm not even sure I can tell the difference. And the other one is more of a licorice type of flavor.
Okay.
Which, when a lot of people, when they have root beer candies, that licorice is a really heavy influence.
See, I don't
like
the root beer barrels.
Yeah.
See, because I like the root beer barrels fine, and I hate licorice flavor.
And licorice and anise kind of have that same kind of note to them.
Well, and the root beer barrel reminds me, so... I don't know if I've talked about this before. Do you know my favorite soft drink in the world? I invented it.
Oh.
Root beer and lemonade. The proportions can vary, but there is something about it that gives it this little tanginess that is really unique, and I love it.
Well, does it have to be a certain kind of root beer?
No. I mean, whatever the principle is that makes that tang works for any of it. In fact, I have done, like, heretical variants of, like, root beer and Mountain Dew. And it's not as much, it's not as good. I did it mostly because I wanted the caffeine at the time. It's not as good, but it still has it. There's something about the citrus mixing with the root beer that just gives it this very interesting, and it's not, like, sour or anything. It's just this weird, tangy flavor that is totally unique to that combination. And, yeah, growing up, it was my favorite thing, and everybody was grossed out. I was like, no, this is amazing. And I don't understand why. I don't know what the
chemistry is. What even made you
is.
Think of it? Of doing it?
Oh, no, as a kid, I was one of those kids who mixed up. Like, you know, I was just at the age where they started having the self-serve sodas and stuff, so I would make a suicide or a zombie or those kind of things. I liked mixing when it came to food and drink. Like, the other thing I would do a lot when I was a kid, when I was old enough that I could use the stove and things like that, is I would make mac and cheese, like a box of mac and cheese, and I just put a bunch of other shit into it afterward.
Yeah.
Like pizza sauce or different herbs or proteins or more kinds of cheese, things like that. So yeah, I just like, but I don't remember how it started because it was very early. I was very, like, I don't remember the origin of it. That was just always my favorite. I would recommend trying some. The percentages can vary, but that's the thing, is there's just, essentially, there's some sort of chemical reaction that occurs, and that's the important part. And then, obviously, you can tune it to your taste, but... Also works with diet root beer, so... Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Root Beer Hour. I'm Beer, and this is your other host, Root, and... Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world legally obligated to grant you 3 wishes if you catch it during the full moon. I feel I should specify.
Yeah.
Catch the podcast, not catch us.
Right.
And also, that thing you're listening to, that's a copy of the podcast. That's not the podcast. You have to catch the podcast during the full moon. I mean, like, at night when the full moon is out.
Mm-hmm.
3 wishes, though. Legally binding. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 330.
330.
Yep.
Dang. So, I was watching a thing the other day. I don't know if you've seen this or not. So, Cracked. Dan O'Brien does the obsessive pop culture disorder things.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a new thing.
Discussions, yeah.
Excessive pop culture discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And they are much longer.
Yeah.
And they are unscripted.
I haven't watched very many of them.
I watched all of them.
Okay.
Including the one last night. I enjoy them in the same way that it totally just sounds like me and my friends hanging out and talking.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I bring this up?
I don't know.
What was I saying right before this? Oh, and they've done enough now that they're getting, like, questions sent to them. And somebody was asking, like, what do you think the future of podcasting is and stuff like that. And so they were talking a lot about podcasting and sort of what state it has in pop culture and things like that. And it wasn't until near the end of the discussion that I was like, oh, yeah, I've got a podcast. Like, this is, like...
This is actually relevant to me.
No, but that's the thing. I still don't think it is.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm like, I almost went with the only podcast in the world that has nothing to do with podcasting as a cultural phenomenon. We're just two dudes sitting here once a week having 6 people listen to us. Like, I feel like whatever you have to say about podcasting as a thing doesn't really apply to us.
Okay.
I mean, except in bass mechanics. For those of you who are just joining us, welcome to the least podcasty podcast ever, or the most, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
Here's how this thing works. We have a hat. Did you get confused because there's a hat next to the hat?
There when was a hat in, next yes. to the hat. No,
that
I wasn't
hat is
confused.
Not magic.
The magical hat is quite distinct.
This is how little I understand the value of a dollar, though. That hat, I purchased off of Amazon
because
I couldn't find the earlier copy of that hat that I have. And it's totally somewhere in this house.
Oh.
But that's how lazy I was. I'm like, I'll just buy another one. I am history's 4th greatest monster.
Okay.
Or 5th, depending on how you're counting.
Well, you know, you're young still.
No, I'm working.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People used to write in to it. We need people to write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically, all on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. servants, draw the note cards out of the hat randomly, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored. That's the whole show. You know what I think would be a good question to write into the hat or something?
No, what would be a good question?
What's the moral of the Three Little Pigs? This popped into my head the other day. I'm not sure. But let's not waste it here. Somebody can write in and do it. So, how was your week?
First of all,
including Independence Day.
First of all, thank you for the root beer.
No problem.
That was a pleasant surprise. And it was very tasty. Let's see, Independence Day, we didn't really do anything.
Us neither.
Which is good.
We went out for ice cream, which was nice.
Because we've been so busy. I mean, last week I didn't even mention that my dad's first wedding anniversary was near the end of June, and he stopped by. He was in town.
Oh, first anniversary already.
So we visited with him. And
how's married life treating him?
Good. They went to Dubuque and, or not Dubuque, they went to Davenport and rode a riverboat, did a riverboat cruise and did all this stuff over there. But that was a couple weeks ago. I forgot to mention it last week. And then this week, what happened this week? My friend Chris Snook, who is the guy that I've written songs with.
He's the other half of Pile of Fish.
Since 1982. He turned 50, so we went back and celebrated his birthday on the 1st.
I feel like I've run that gag so much that I should specify. His band's called Pilot House. I just like saying Pilot Fish.
And that was fun. But, you know, otherwise we didn't do a heck of a whole lot, and we were kind of glad to not have any place to go or anything to do on the 4th. We saw a couple movies.
Freaking heat.
it's been kind of hot. We saw Lego Batman, which was better than I expected.
It did well.
No, it did, but I mean, I heard things about it that made me wonder if I'd like it, and I did like it. But the thing about it is, Lego Batman, the Lego movie, and a lot of other kids' fare, especially, but not just kids' fare, a lot of comedic stuff, is so fast-paced. And when it's in a movie, there's so much crammed into the scene, like little Easter eggs that you could notice while the other action's going on. It's a little overwhelming, honestly. I mean, I don't have a very quick brain, so I get kind of tired out by these movies. As much as I might enjoy them or think they're funny, it's like there's so much going on.
The discussion about podcasting on that video mentioned, one of them was like, I'm just glad it's long form, because it sort of still proves that people can have an attention span longer than like 5 minutes. And I think that's the kind of thing you run into. That's why I love watching stuff at home, and the fact that I have a DVR, because I can back it up.
Well, like,
and I'm like I've discovered one of the funniest things about The Simpsons. Yes, it's always about The Simpsons. Is the stuff that's written, like the signs or the thing, like the stuff that is very quick like that, but that's that you have to read off the screen, and it's often really tough. But so when I'm at home and I'm watching, well, I can back it up and pause it so I can read the whole thing.
Well, one of the things I liked about Powerless was its pace. Like, it let you enjoy the looks that people were on people's faces, the jokes that people were telling. It wasn't just slam, slam, slam to the next thing.
I'm so bummed at that.
Yeah, that's too bad. But something like 30 Rock and Kimmy Schmidt and all that stuff, it's like, just things are going at y'all.
Jokes per minute.
So fast. And they're funny, but, and I like them, and I do watch them, but it's a little overwhelming. And I was looking at some of I looked at the films that I made 10 years ago, and I paced them in a particular way for a particular kind of audience. I don't know if you remember, but when we played it at that film festival, your film, Inquire Within, one of the judges said when he first watched the film just by himself, he screened it for himself, he wasn't sure about the pacing of it, the editing pacing, but then when it was played for an audience, like a theater audience, it made sense. You know, the pauses and however, which is, well, of course it did, because
we had takes.
Well, yes.
We had silent takes throughout. Almost every line was followed by the opposite character giving the other one a look.
Well, and that's how we edited it. We edited it in with a theater type audience in mind, not with a YouTube audience in mind, and not even with like a snap, snap, snap comedy audience in mind.
Yeah.
And all of the films are like that. Now, I watch them now, and I'm so used to everything being such a rapid pace, the films seem to go fairly slow. But again, we made them one year after the next, and they were all edited for like a crowd, which I still think they would work in that context. And I thought it was really interesting that the judge at the film festival didn't notice that it was paced well, I guess, until he saw it with a regular audience, because it worked really great with the audience when we were watching. But anyway, so that's something I was thinking about when we watched the Batman, Lego Batman movie. But it was good. And then we watched Fantastic Beasts.
Of the South, or?
The
Harry Potter one. Harry Potter 12, whatever.
Have you seen it?
No.
I don't see the point of it.
You saw the Harry Potter movies?
Well, I did see the Harry Potter movies. Okay. And I'm not a big fan of Harry Potter anyway. And the movies, most of them, not all of them, but there were only a couple exceptions to what I'm about to say. Most of the movies seemed to be, hey, let's make sure we get these scenes from the books that we know the fans are going to want to see on the screen in the movie. And then we'll just sort of, we'll just sort of lace them together with the thinnest plot, because all of the people who read the books know how the plot goes in.
After each film, Trish and I had to have a sit down where she would ask me, she would tell me the things she didn't understand, because she didn't read the books, I did.
Yeah.
And in most cases, I could be like, if you know the books, blah, blah, blah. There were some times where I'm like, yeah, I don't know what that was either.
All right. Well, that to me, the films were not very well made for people who hadn't read the books. And it didn't encourage me to read the books either. I just didn't find the stories or the characters that compelling or interesting. And there were a couple times where, I went on trips with my wife and her kids, and they'd play the book on tape or whatever.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't hear the whole book, but I'd hear large pieces of it.
Yeah.
Also, it was interesting. It was well written, I thought, but didn't interest me at all. So my wife's kind of a Harry Potter fan, though. So we got this movie and watched it, and I just didn't even see the point of it. It wasn't interesting. It didn't add anything, I didn't feel like, to the general mythos that was created before. I think it worked, right? It was popular and did well in the box office.
I don't know that it was considered good. I mean, you know, Batman v Superman did well at the box office.
Yeah.
I don't know, and from what I do know of it, it's doing that thing again that a lot of them are doing now, where so much of it was a setup for the next one.
Well, there was even. It even felt a little bit like, you know, maybe, well, it's not going to happen, obviously, because what we watched was from Netflix or whatever, a disc from Netflix. But it felt like there was 20 minutes of footage that wasn't in the movie that they could put in, and suddenly some of the plot.
Well, because, yeah, this is based off of a picture book.
Well, right.
That had no plot.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's not so much based off the book as it's got a character in it who supposedly wrote said book with some of the creatures from the book.
Yeah.
So really,
and Rowling has written a whole bunch of more stuff. You go to Pottermore.
And I looked at some of that stuff, which was really interesting.
Did you find your Patronus?
No. I looked at that material, and I was kind of shocked by how crudely developed it was. Because what it reads like is backstory notes.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and I know what that's like because I have backstory notes for some of my stories, and I've also tried to publish them as stories, but I had to do a lot of work on them to make them not seem so much like backstory notes.
Perhaps I failed, but it reads like a dry school textbook if you lived in a magical world. Because I also got that vibe from the little bits I've read. It's just filling in details with no narrative flair or anything
but it's
that.
Again, it's like, again, I know what backstory notes read like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you don't, all they are is facts. Just exactly, facts.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't develop it. You don't put any flair into it. And I've tried to take some of that stuff and turn it into stories with the minimal amount of effort. And I've met with similar failure. It just doesn't read very good. And in fact, this material looked like it had less work done to it than anything I ever did to my stuff. I mean, it looked like she literally took her backstory notes and just put it on there without trying to make it interesting
at all.
Well,
she's still going. That's, instead of doing new stuff, she's just writing more and more.
But backstory notes are not interesting.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, some people are eating it up.
Well, I mean, if some people, I shouldn't say they're not interesting. They're interesting to people who are fascinated by world building and by what's going on
but
behind
not
the scenes.
A narrative.
Right. And I think that's what it's trying to, is it's selling itself as a narrative, and then it's not that. Yeah. So I'm surprised that people are liking it. But anyway, the film also came across like that. Like, well, we're just going to throw a bunch of crap at you because we want you to know it, like you said, for future movies.
Well, yeah,
movies.
Supposedly it's going to be a 5 or 6.
But there was the plot was really thin, and there were holes all over the place. And I don't know. I just didn't see the point of it.
I was a Harry Potter fan at the beginning. I read the first book. I finished it literally an hour before we went and saw the first movie in the theater. And then I ate up those books pretty fast. And it was one of those that I and this very rarely happens to me. I read that series and then was waiting for them to come out like everybody else. Somewhere along the line, I decided that Harry Potter was essentially Star Wars in the sense that I felt that J.K. Rowling had built a fascinating world, but I did not particularly enjoy the specific story she was telling. But I kept going, and I finished them all, and I'm not sorry I did. At some point, I have progressed beyond that, and I'm like, Harry Potter was awesome, saw all the movies, read all the books, that was great, I'm done. Like, nothing about Harry Potter interests me anymore. So yeah, I didn't see Fantastic Beasts, and I doubt I'll bother to do it. But
well, I don't see why anybody would.
People love it, and if you love a particular thing like that, you will eat up any little piece that comes.
I realize that's true. I mean, there's a lot of DC.
I mean, it's pure fandom.
There's a lot of DC stuff that I know isn't very good, but I'll still watch it.
Well, yeah, and hell, I'm sitting here saying I'm going to watch every movie in the MCU. Some of those are not going to be good. Yeah. Some of those already maybe have not been that good.
Well, how was your week?
It was okay. Not a lot happened. Work was very busy when I was actually there. Didn't really see any movies. I mean, I think I saw... In fact, I know I saw a couple of, like, low-budget things on Netflix at 2 in the morning or whatever, but nothing to speak of. We did watch the season premieres. We watched season premiere Killjoys, which was even better than I hoped. I'm really excited for this season. It is absolutely my new Warehouse 13. Like, if you analyze it too much, it's not great. But it has great characters with great interactions and some of the best lines I'm seeing on TV right now. And so I just love it for that. And they were very clear. The pilot, like, really heavy-handed in showing you, like, here's what this season's gonna be like. Like, that's cool. Like, they went, this whole new demographic of people that we sort of didn't know before, we had a long scene where we explained their whole backstory and everything. Like, I guess this season's gonna be about them. But yeah, and it's just fun and it looks cool and I'm very excited for that. Also saw the season premiere of Wynonna Earp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We haven't even tried it. I'm thinking we won't.
I was excited. I watched it. And some of it is, I haven't got a vibe for it. And some of it is, maybe I romanticized it. Where, like, I'm just unenthused. And it doesn't help that because didn't know it was coming back or whatever, we watched the first one. We don't have the second or third. And On Demand's being shitty about it. Like, they would show you the first and the third, but not the second. So it's going to take effort to even do it, and I'm kind of like, And especially because we watched that first, and then, like, the next night we watched Killjoys. I'm like, see? And we've got so much else going. I mean, we've still got 3 seasons of The 100 to go through. And, you know, we still haven't fucking watched Transparent. You know, we got shit we can do.
Sure.
And we started playing a new video game. Actually, no, I do have a couple things on video games to talk about. We started playing a new video game called Overcooked. It's kind of fun. It is a cooperative cooking game. And so, like, you know, you have to hurry and get out. It's similar to those games like Diner Dash and things like that, or, like, single cooking games where it's like, oh, you have, here's the recipe, you have to get out the food, and there's people waiting, and, you know, if you get it out fast enough, you get a tip, and if you take too long, they'll leave, and you lose money and stuff. Except there's two of you, and so it's like, okay, I'll be on vegetable chopping, You put it in the stove. I'll put it out there. You have to wash the dishes, and like it's all time. And then there's stuff like, oh, I need another tomato. No, not lettuce. I need tomato. Come on. and so it's very cute, and you can do up to 4-player local co-op.
Hmm.
So it was fun. I finished Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
I think I'm going to recommend it to you guys.
Okay.
It is absolutely the sort of game that it doesn't matter who's got the controller. It's fine. Because it is... Honestly, here's the thing. You know how Gone Home came out and it was the kind of game... Like, we didn't really have a definition for what kind of game it was?
Right.
This is in that same genre.
Oh.
The mechanics are vastly different. But it's that same... I guess I'd call it open world... interactive story because the whole thing is you're in this valley in England where there's a little village and stuff, nobody's there, and you are just piecing together what happened. And what you mostly have to go on is there are places where you'll find like a radio or a telephone, and if you click on it, it'll play you a piece of things. But then otherwise, there's this flashing light that you sort of follow. And if you go to right places, you sort of get reenactments of scenes that have happened. And so basically, the whole thing ends up being split into chapters of what happened to certain characters. And it's interesting. It's very... There is a decisive ending to it, but I feel like there's a breadth of interpretation for the ending. And I feel like it's very short. I played it... It took me a long time because I would play it for like 30 minutes at a time or whatever. It's also first-person perspective. So that's a thing for me at least. But I did pretty okay with it. But I think it's probably very short. But yeah, I like it. And I think you would like it and find it interesting. And visually interesting. Because it's amazing. Like, there's no load. Like, at the beginning, there's a huge load that takes like a minute. But after that... There's this valley, and it's gorgeous, and there's no load times anywhere. Like, I can't even imagine how tired my PlayStation must be from that. But I would recommend that. I just a couple days ago decided I'm probably going to stop Dragon Quest Builders. I know I've said that before. But I do... I mean, I may come back to it someday, but I feel like... You know, it's not a plot I need to follow. I kind of feel like I've gotten what I want out of it. And it's fun. I still recommend it. But, So I downloaded and installed Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Didn't start it. And I'm going to play something before that. I have a friend who's currently obsessed with the Soulsborne series, as he calls it, which is Dark Souls, Dark Souls 2, Bloodborne, all that stuff.
Yeah.
These games, mostly famous for being really fucking hard and unforgiving.
Right.
Which means zero interest on my part.
Right, right.
On top of that, I went and read the story because Bloodborne looks cool. I'm like, what is the story here? I know for a fact, having read it, that it ends sort of an unresolved. It's unresolved, like this, which is fine, like in a movie or whatever. But I'm like, I'm certainly not going to play it through to try and get to the story. But he really thinks it could be cool, and I might like it. And I was like, okay, if I don't have to spend money, I'll give it a try. So if you have it on disc, he didn't have it on disc. Different coworker had it on disc. Brought me the disc. So probably this weekend, I will try it out. Odds are good. I'll play it for like a total of 2 hours and stop forever. But I told him I'd give it a shot. And maybe I'll really love it. But then after that, yeah, I'll do Assassin's Creed Syndicate. I do have one other thing. So Sunday... Okay, backstory here. So, Pullman, downtown. Restaurant called Pullman. It's been open for a while. I kind of wanted to check it out. People have said I should check it out. I'm curious. I had never gotten around to it. It's hard when it's right in the middle of downtown. It's kind of hard to actually get there, you know? So, my coworkers for Administrative Assistance Professionals Appreciation Day or what... I don't know now. Whatever day I now fall into in my job that they appreciate me. My team has always been pretty good about it. They sign a card and stuff like that. And they got me a gift card to Pullman.
It's nice.
And I was like, cool. So I'd mentioned a while, I was like, we really should use that or whatever. turns out Trish has looked at the menu and she's like, nothing on here appeals to me. And so the other day I was like, I could go with Dan, my friend, like Dan and Lisa, you know them.
Yep.
He's the guy who's currently GMing in my group, and he's a good friend of mine. And I was like, that could be fun. And it'd give us a chance to talk and stuff like that. So we went on Sunday night to Pullman. And I think the place is a little too hip for me. Everything's just a little too messed with. Like, I had their fried chicken because it's like one of their specialties or whatever. And they just put a lot of odd seasoning in the skin. I think a lot of cumin for some reason. And it was fine. But everything is just too... They have really involved cocktails and stuff. The thing I had to get, because it was there and I'd never done it, marrow bones. They had an appetizer of marrow bones where they've cooked the cow bones down until the marrow is just a sort of jelly. And they serve it to you still into bones. Like, they'd sliced a bone down the middle and you've got this. It was surprisingly boring. And especially for, like, what it cost and how big a deal it was and stuff. You put it on toast points and things like that. And I was just, I mean, it's fine. If somebody wants to take me there, sure. That's great. If somebody else is like, I want to try it, yeah, we'll go. I don't. Especially when you factor in the difficulty of going there. But he and I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those great conversations where we talked about some serious stuff and then we talked about some totally not serious stuff. And he's been going through some stuff now. His parents hit the point where they had to move into assisted living, and so they've been dealing with that and stuff like that, and so we talked about that, and I've had some stuff, and we talked about it, and then we just talked about gaming and whatever the hell.
And you filmed the whole thing, and now you're going to make a movie called My Dinner with Dan.
My Dinner with Dan. No. But so that was neat, and in fact, I think I have petitioned him on this, and I think he likes the idea of turning this into a thing, like once a month or once every 2 months or something. Sure. He and I go out to dinner. So, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was it. I think Saturday, hopefully, we are going to go to Coffee's birthday party. I totally forgot it existed, so now I'm like trying to see if we can fit it into the other things I've committed to. I think we can. And then hopefully Saturday night, we're going to go see the new Spider-Man. I like that I'm not dreading it or feeling that I have to, but I'm not excited, per se.
Yeah.
I think it will be good, and I think I will enjoy it. Some of it, honestly, may be because the last two were Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and fucking Wonder Woman. And I can promise you it's not going to be better than Wonder Woman. And I can almost promise you it's not going to be better than Guardians 2, because that movie was really good also.
But it'll be entertaining.
And, yeah. And again, don't particularly like Spider-Man. Michael Keaton as the Vulture does seem kind of awesome. I'm a little psyched about that. But we'll see. Yeah, I mean, it'll be fine. That's all I got.
Okay.
Now we have a hat. It's magic. Wait, I'm not doing that whole thing again. He's going to draw a thing out of it, so be prepared, people. But seriously, we are running very low on things, so please write in. And I know I'm being a beggar who's also a chooser, but please don't just send me an email with 30 tiny, insignificant questions.
You mean like, the hat. Don't send the hat an email.
Yeah. Don't send the hat an email. Why would I send me? you know, just one or two is fine. I just need people to do it, or else the hat will be empty, and don't know what'll happen. Like, we've ended an episode with an empty hat. We haven't started an episode with an empty hat, and I don't know if we're capable of doing that.
We haven't started one with an empty hat?
No, we ended one with an empty hat, only once.
Hmm.
So, work on it, people.
Oh, we did have an episode where we didn't draw anything out of the hat.
Yes,
just
we had
one,
that too.
Just one time. Coffee wants to know. What is your most terrible memory?
What is your most terrible memory?
Boy, I'm not even sure.
I went to Pullman, and I had these marrow bones. And, no. Right now, I wish I had a kid, just so I can be like, the day my child was born.
Oh, come on.
I just think that would be a solid joke if I actually had a kid. Mostly because I started with, when we got Addie, was that no?
Terrible meaning what? Like traumatic, or like a memory we don't like to think about, or?
Well, that's the thing. A memory you wish you could forget, or a memory of something that you wish you could never have happened.
Because, I mean, I've got terrible memories of things that I didn't personally experience, but that I, you know, witnessed other people experiencing. I remember, like, when...
I think that counts. I don't think...
When the 2000...
I don't think a memory of somebody telling you about something you weren't present for counts. But if you're witnessing something, I think...
Well, like, counts. On television. Like, sometimes when there's a natural disaster and they're, like, showing footage of it, and you can, like, see or very easily imagine people dying right before your eyes, that's a pretty terrible memory. Like, the tsunami in... Was it 2004? No, 2006? 2004. I can't believe I don't remember the date.
I was going to say 7, so...
Oh, well. Around Christmas time or whatever?
Yeah.
But they kept showing footage of that, and it was like, I don't want to see this. This is horrible.
Yeah, I frequently will they had some work to avoid that.
They had something on YouTube today. I was going through my YouTube feed, and apparently some helicopter crash happened in Brazil with four people on it. And I saw the thumbnail for it, and it was like showing the people in the helicopter. I thought, I'll bet if I click on that thing, they're going to show me the actual crash, these people crashing. Yeah. There's no way I want to see that. And if I'd watched it, the whole thing, my answer to this question would be, that thing I just watched today was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, watching these people. Oh, I can't even imagine anyone would want to see that.
So, you know Thomas Edison.
I know of him. Didn't know him personally.
Yes. And you know...
I played him in a musical.
Ah. Yeah. I'm recording the podcast, so... I'm not going to say my personal phone number right now. Do you have your phone? I could text it to you. Okay, I mean, if you come out here, I can show it to you, but... The problem is, for a second, I almost did it.
That
would have been bad. 555. Yes. So... But we're under no delusions about Edison here, right?
That he...
He was a jerk.
Yeah, in many ways,
and
yeah.
And robbed a lot of things we credit him as inventing, he stole from other people, or simultaneously developed and ensured that the other person was ruined, stuff like that.
Or someone on his team developed it, but they never got any credit, and he got it all. Yeah, all that stuff happened. Or at least we think
there's
so.
There's... All right, I'm probably going to have to type this now. Cause why do you want my phone number? Ooh, that sounded like it hurt.
Don't worry about it. Do your thing.
Oh, okay. And of course, one of the big ones, alternating current versus direct current.
Yeah, big battle with Tesla on that one.
Yes. And wanted to prove that alternating current was bad.
Dangerous.
Well, that was where he eventually went.
Yeah.
And inventing the electric. Yeah, that's the prefix. Okay, what about it? I still have 100% no idea what's going on.
Okay. I don't know either. Now she's going outside.
Now she's leaving. I don't know. I may have just gotten divorced. I'm not... I'm not sure. But yeah, so...
Then he killed a bunch of animals in demonstrating this.
And famously, an elephant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dogs and stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah, but the like, pièce de résistance, as it were. So, I have seen the photo of it in, like, a textbook or something, of the elephant. Because somebody did take footage of it at the time. They had even film of it at the time. The Assassin's Creed game, possibly the first one, I don't remember. Oh, it was something involving food, apparently.
I'll tell you later.
Alright. One of those sandwiches is yours and the rest is my stuff.
Yeah,
mine. Alright. Is a game built that builds in all this weird conspiracy stuff about things that have happened in history, and it's not what you think it is, and all this stuff. And they had a thing talking about, there was one part that was talking about Edison, and I forget how the story went there, but for shock value, it then went to the whole electrocuting of the elephant. But here's the thing, they're using actual, like, photos and things, and they seem to use some moving pictures in places. And the bit they do with that, it seemed to move, and then you'd hear a zzz sound, and then the screen went black. It was very moving and powerful at the time, it was freaky. But then I'm like, did I technically just get tricked into watching actual footage of an animal being electrocuted? Because if so, I'm kind of pissed off. Because I have a big thing about not wanting to see footage of death.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that either.
To the degree, I mean, so far I have never seen a human being die. Like, in person or in video or anything like that. And I kind of, I assume someday that won't be true anymore. But I kind of like to keep that going as long as I can manage.
Well, I wish I could say the same, but, I mean, I've inadvertently...
You hang around with really old people.
No, I mean, I've inadvertently... There's famous footage of people getting shot in the head, execution style,
yeah,
and all this other
yeah.
stuff. That I'd just be watching some other thing and I'll see it.
And I've had to dodge them. When Saddam got hung, that was a bad one. And actually, that was the point where I really sort of solidified this, because I stopped and thought about it. Because I also... It's similar to my thing with guns. There's a fascination to it. There's a part of me that really does want to see that. Mm. Because I think it must be so weird. Like, but... the rest of me, like, the much bigger part is like, no, that would be horrifying and you could never unsee it in your mind. So, but I had to do some internet gymnastics to avoid seeing footage of Saddam getting hung.
I mean, I've seen war footage.
Yeah, see, and I've seen dead bodies and I've seen people wounded, but, like, and it sounds silly when I spell it out, but, like, the moment.
So you've not seen, like, war footage where guys are running and suddenly they fall down and they've obviously been shot and killed? You've never seen anything
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, but they didn't die instantly, usually.
Okay. So you don't count that, really, as...
No. I've seen people mortally wounded. But I've never seen anyone at the moment of death. And I'm both intrigued and terrified of that. And so I work not to see it, because I'm sure I will see it someday. Probably in person. I will probably be next to an aged or ill loved one as they slip away.
Well, I mean, only one time have I ever been in the presence of a person when they passed away. That was my mom. And, you know, that was in August of 2006. And, you know, that was... You know, I've talked to my dad about it. And he kind of has the same feeling. It's something I wish I hadn't done.
Mm-hmm.
But I know if I went back, I still would have done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
that's a super meaningful thing that I understand and I appreciate, and I expect I would probably make a similar decision.
And
as opposed to just seeing shots of somebody getting beheaded on you know, YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that.
I don't think YouTube allows that, but you know, I never
want to see anything like that. But yeah, it's a you know, and of course I've been present for a couple births also, and so it's interesting. It's interesting how different those experiences are. And there are a lot of people who assist, you know, who this is part of their work. They're with people when they pass.
Yeah.
And some of those people have also been present for births and for deaths. And for them, a lot of those people, philosophically speaking, they feel like the experiences aren't that much different and full of meaning. And it's a, you know, and they don't, while the death is obviously a sadder thing, they see something very profound and beautiful in the process when it's done in a dignified way and so on.
Yeah.
I can only sort of intellectually understand that perspective because being the person that passed was my mother.
Oh yeah.
I can't see it as anything but like up to that moment the worst experience I'd ever had in my life.
Yeah, it would be weird if you were like, so profound. So profound.
Well, there are a lot of people who do feel that way about it. Like,
but not when their mom dies.
Well, I don't know. I mean, my grandmother, when my grandfather died, her husband passed away, she was very philosophical about it. And she's a very religious person, and he had some kind of religious conversion before he passed away, which was meaningful to her. You know, and so certain that she would see him again and probably not in very long in the future because, you know, she was also older and everything.
Little did she know, his conversion was a last-minute change to being a snake.
But she lived many years after that. But my point is, some people can be very philosophical about these things. But for me, it, you know, none of that stuff mattered. I mean, she was just in her early 60s, you know. I just never dreamed that, you know, that she would die before I was 40. Mm. I just never thought that would happen. And I, you know, didn't like it. And I still don't like it. I mean, you know, every day.
It'd be weird if you did.
Well, but it's, you know, some people can get over these things probably. I don't know. For me, it's going to be 11 years in August, and it's still something that I struggle with quite a bit. But I mean, would I call that my most terrible memory? I mean, up until that moment, I couldn't think of anything that had ever happened to me that's worse, and there were plenty of bad things that happened to me.
Yeah.
And there have been things since then that have happened to me that made me feel worse. I didn't think anything could make me feel worse than being in the hospital room when my mom passed away. But there have been things since then that have made me feel even worse than that. And so I don't know. It's hard to really say what's the most terrible. You know, I find that question very difficult to answer.
My most terrible memory is not something I'm going to talk about. But in that vein, my most terrible memories, I suspect you can relate to this, tend to be of things I did that I really wish I had not
done. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When I have been mean or hurtful to people. I mean, not just like, oh, the time I told that guy his hair looked like, but there have been some things where, like, I have been really shitty to people and it has really fucked them up. And in some cases, I've been really shitty to people and the next day everything was fine, but I still have that memory of me saying those words and that person's just face just splitting open in tears.
Sure, like, sure.
And I'm like, oh my God, I hate... And it's by no means one of the most traumatic things that happened to me. It'll be like a small thing, but that memory is awful.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. In fact, I would say those memories are the most terrible in the sense of being haunting. You know, when they come up, they make me feel really, really awful.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you ever have those moments when you say or do something that's really bad, and like 3 seconds later, some part of your brain is like, wow, I can never take that back.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, those are just chilling. Where like you, the moment you say it, and then you're like, there is no coming back from that. Like,
yep, yep.
Even if we amend I will always have said that,
yep,
or I will always have done that.
Yep, yep, that's right.
And to be fair, the worst memory, the one that I won't talk about, does fall into this category, but I'm not going to talk about it. And the reason I'm not giving other examples is I actually can't think of a good specific one now. But I know I've done it a lot. More in my younger days when I was less well-medicated and had a more of a temper. But, yeah.
Yeah, any time I made a decision that I later regretted, and usually that involves something I did caused harm to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those memories are the worst.
Makes us sound like the nicest people in the world, that like that's our biggest heart. No, we're just the most self-loathing people in the world, guys. Like, that's our version of hell, is just us being an asshole to somebody. But, okay, we're almost out of time, but I do want to stop because something reminded me of a bright spot to end on here today. Patton Oswalt, comedian, good comedian, actor, he's been in a lot of stuff lately. Fairly known recently that last April 2016, his wife died.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah, very suddenly, very unexpectedly.
Well, how sad.
And leaving behind him and their 7-year-old daughter.
Mm.
And it was obviously rough. And surprisingly, he was pretty forthcoming about it during the processing. Like, he took a little while, like right when it happened. There were a couple weeks he just sort of was dark on social media and stuff. But he kind of talked people through it. He's engaged. He just recently got engaged.
Oh.
To actress Meredith Salinger, who has done a lot of stuff, but it's sort of spread out in places where you wouldn't necessarily know her, except one thing. Do you recall an old live-action Disney movie called The Journey of Natty Gann?
Nope.
I never saw it, I don't think, but it was kind of a big thing as this runaway girl on a train, and I don't know. She's Natty Gann.
Oh.
That was her. She does a lot of voice acting nowadays, but yeah, apparently they're just super in love now, and I think the daughter likes her because there are some pictures of the daughter hanging out with them and stuff. And I'm very happy for him. I think he deserves that.
Well, that's good news.
It is. I'm very pleased for him. If you'd like to tell us about how you have recently become engaged, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, if you want to tell us about your experience with electrocuting animals, or what your worst memory of us is, I feel like that could be interesting.
And if you want to submit a question to Hash, what do they do for that? Because
yes,
I think someone submitted a question to the blog.
Yes, Courtney, heads up here. If you'd like to have us discuss a question, write to Hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. I'm sorry I have to be a hard ass about this, but otherwise it's a slippery slope here, so I can't accept it.
Plus, the Hat doesn't read the blog.
Hat, no. I'm not sure anybody reads it. the thing I didn't mention. Also, watched the season finale of Doctor Who. Liked it okay, wasn't that impressed. It's a like-hate thing. I loved bits about it, and I hated bits about it, so it sort of evened out. Jazz liked it way better, but that's her problem. also, like us on Facebook. Wouldn't that be weird? The only thing, nobody ever does it when I say that. And part of what I'm thinking is that the like 2.5 people who still listen already did.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I'm thinking, because this seems to happen a lot, I don't mean like the post when I put up the episode. I mean the Magical Talking Hat is a entity on there. You can like it. So do that. Also, listen again next week, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. And you're waiting for a bit where I specify a week that I don't listen, but no! Listen to all of the weeks, always, because that's how we get our endorsement money. Eventually.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the Hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, Visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.